And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's Talk of the Town. Today is Prescott Day. Talk of the Town is sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now, live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your mayor of the city of Prescott and your host today. We have a great show today. We'll be taking a look at all things recreation in the city of Prescott. We'll also be talking a little bit about snow removal and the big storm event that's coming our way here tonight. My guests today are Joe Baines, Director of Recreation Services, and Chris Hosking, who's the Trails and Natural Parklands Coordinator. We'll be right back after these messages.
Cliff Castle Casino, and you can win a share of over $30,000 in cash and prizes. Earn entries all month and bonus entries on Tuesdays. Drawings start on Sunday, February 24th at 4 p.m. with progressive cash prizes each hour through 9 p.m. At 8 p.m., you can win $5,000 cash, and at 9 p.m., one lucky winner walks away with $10,000 cash. Be one of the 30 winners on February 24th playing high-low. Visit CliffCastleCasino.com for details. Cliff Castle Casino, the perfect place to play.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
How many Augie's locations are there worldwide? Well, the answer, of course, is one. The one and only Augie's, locally owned, locally operated, locally inspired by you, the people of the Quad Cities. Delicious steak, scrumptious salmon, huge shrimp cocktail, the best martinis bar none. Open every day for lunch and dinner, the place to dine on Highway 69. The one and only Augie's Frontier Village.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody, and good afternoon. You're listening to KQ&A Talk of the Town, and we're excited to talk about recreation and trails and all things outdoors here in our beautiful city of Prescott. We have Joe Baines with us today, as well as Chris Hosking. Thanks for being with us today, guys.
Thanks for having us.
You know, before we jump into recreation and trails and all that fun stuff, we'll have plenty of time to do that. I first wanted to kick off and talk a little bit about the preparations for, are we calling it the snow apocalypse, I think, Joe?
Snowmageddon, I heard.
Snowmageddon, okay. Well, it's interesting, you know, I'm from Kansas, so, you know, when it snows a foot or two there, they don't really get too excited. I think school keeps going and you feed the cows and milk the cows and not a whole lot of anything stops there. But here it's a little different with our steep slopes, I think, and some folks that aren't as familiar driving in these kinds of conditions. And so we want to be prepared and make sure that everyone's safe out there in the next couple of days with this storm. It looks to be a pretty good sized storm, Joe. What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, I think I'm still seeing anywhere between 14 and 27 inches, something like that. Seems to be pretty consistent.
Yeah, it seems like there's another forecast that I think just came out this afternoon. I haven't seen that yet, but I think you're right that we're probably in for at least a foot and possibly 2 feet. This is not totally unusual for Prescott, though. You've been around a while. You've seen some of these.
Yeah, I've been around. I remember, in fact, United Christian Youth Camp, we were working there in the late 80s, and we had to take a D8 dozer to push our way through there to get back to work a couple days later. So, yeah, we can get those 23, 24 inches snows, but, you know, like you said earlier, we're a little unique in that we've got a lot of steep slopes and people that maybe not don't drive in this stuff all the time. So caution, caution, caution.
Yeah, so let's talk just briefly, Joe, about the preparation. We had a big meeting this morning with every department, from legal to finance to police to fire to parks and rec and some others in between. And I feel very confident with our team and just the kind of coordination and collaboration that's happening on the team. And it's kind of an all-hands-on-deck. We have 16 plows, is that right?
Yeah, 16 plows. And I point out, too, we also had Prescott Unified School District in that meeting this morning because, you know, we've all got to work together and combine resources. And, yeah, 16 different plows, and we're geared up and ready to do the best we can do. But I think the big message is, you know, if you can stay home, by all means, stay at home, relax, enjoy yourself. The more traffic we have and the more traffic the plows we have to work around, the more, you know, more problems that can happen.
Yeah, I think a lot of businesses are kind of taking an approach of let's plan on a two-hour delay at least in the morning and kind of see where we're at. And a lot of folks, I think, can work from home, you know, on a laptop or whatever they might do. And so that's kind of a good approach, I think, for people. If they can stay at home tomorrow, that'd be the best, just so we can do our job without as many vehicles on the road.
And that's the approach the city's taking. We're telling the non-essential employees that don't need to be there. That doesn't mean they're not essential, but to stay home, and then ones that can work from home through their laptops can do that. Just err on the side of caution and let the plows do their work.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, I was hearing or remembering from that meeting this morning, Joe, folks need to refrain from pushing their snow from a driveway out into the street just so it makes it easier for us to do our work.
Correct, yeah. If we go down with a snow plow and we plow a lane and somebody comes out right behind us from a driveway and plows it back in, we've defeated the purpose. So, yeah, we ask that people do not push their snow back out into the right-of-way after we've plowed it.
Anything else you can think of with that, Joe? I think, you know, we're in the best shape that we can be, and it looks like this storm will taper off maybe Thursday night, Friday morning.
Yeah, more. I think it was leaking into Friday a little bit, but yeah, like again, I just can't emphasize enough. If you can stay home, start a fire and get a cup of coffee and relax and let us do our job.
Then the only other thing I was going to mention is just to get information. We do have a very good and active Facebook page. It's City of Government, City of Prescott Government. Facebook page is a really good place to get information. We keep that up to date. The website is got information there, and then you had a phone number as well.
Yeah, Public Works has kind of set up their line, 928-777-1130, to take calls with questions. But, you know, again, there too, we just, you know, if you can stay home and not have to worry about it, then it's going to be better for everybody, and let the resources do the work and keep everybody safe.
Well, and if you can refrain from calling an emergency number, if we can keep that clear, if you truly have an emergency, absolutely you need to use those numbers because we want to take care of our people during these kinds of events. But if it's a non-emergency, the 777-1130 number is a good number to call.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. Let's jump into some discussion about what's going on with you guys and Parks and Rec. And Joe, I guess first, just tell us a little bit about the scope of your role with the city. And you've been here several centuries, I think, right?
I just look that way. Actually, I've been a resident of Prescott for 35 years. I've been working for the city since 2011, so about 8 years now. And, you know, our recreation services department is not like a lot of other recreation departments. We do also include field and facilities. In other words, we run the central garage, take care of all the equipment that the city of Prescott has, which is over 500 pieces, everything from fire trucks to backhoes to pickups. We also manage the facilities for the city of Prescott. We have 320,000 square foot of buildings that we manage. And then, of course, we have the trails division. We have a programming division that does our adult sports, helps put the tournaments together. We do special events that runs through our departments. Trails, of course, we have a lot of outdoor recreation and a lot more all the time, and we'll get to a little more of that later. So we do a lot of things around the city. We really take an active role in tourism promotion. We try to help support the city's essential services by creating that spending in the community that, you know, supplies the tax dollars to help provide those services.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest change has been, you know, as you've kind of looked at it over the years, even before you started with the city, in terms of Parks and Rec? What are some of the big milestones, would you say?
Well, I think the biggest gains, I guess it, across the board, but I think outdoor recreation, really embracing outdoor recreation was something that really hadn't been done before. Chris can speak to it a little bit better, but, you know, we had, you know, barely more than double-digit miles in our trail system. Now we're up over, you know, 100. And so we've really embraced that. I think with, you know, John Heine coming on and really promoting from the tourism perspective that outdoor recreation infrastructure we have, I think that's probably the biggest thing that I've seen. We've also really focused intentionally on trying to build our sports calendar a lot more vibrant to bring people from out of town that spend money again in the community, but also creating a better quality of life for our citizens at the same time. And then, you know, the other part of that is special events, trying to, you know, have family fun type events, especially we're really focusing on now, but special events that are going on, you know, on the weekend so that, you know, people can get out and enjoy the great outdoors. They can enjoy downtown Prescott, and people coming up from Phoenix or wherever can have something to do.
Yeah, for sure. So Chris, I'm going to pull you in on this. Tell us how long you've been with the city. Maybe a little bit about your role, but the question I have is, you know, in relationship to that paradigm shift of kind of leveraging our outdoor assets more that Joe was talking about, did you see that occur or start to occur coinciding with the Whiskey Off-Road bike event?
Yeah, I've been here 12 years, and I take care of all the, you know, 100-mile-plus of trails and about 2,500 acres of open space, which we call natural parkland. We put it to use and we fill it with trails and we get people out there. I think Prescott, you know, number one with Prescott is we have great weather. If we didn't have good weather, I don't think we'd be attracting people. So we rely on that.
You're saying that right before a snowstorm comes
in
here.
Okay. Yeah. But everything's relative. Where I lived before, they had 16 feet last week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's we got a great terrain around here, and so the trails, you know, my world, it's very attractive to many different people. It's not too big, it's not too small. It's an altitude a little bit, but not too high. It's manageable, and it's a great home base, you know, and it's a great place for people to visit. And not be overwhelmed. You know, it's manageable.
Yeah, four mild seasons maybe is a way to put that. I mean, I know we're getting ready for a big snowstorm, but it's true that really our winters are pretty mild, and even our summers, you know, particularly compared to the Phoenix area, are pretty mild as well.
Yeah, and I think with the epic race and the Whiskey Off-Road, I mean, that's definitely been a banner event that's really attracted people to come here, but similar type events. You know, now we have the Whiskey Basin Run that does the Circle Trail. And we have, you know, the state mountain bike series that come here. And so in that kind of realm, the whiskey has really put us on the map.
Because, and it was really the signature. I mean, it was the first real big race that we had come to the city.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a certain type of race. It's an event. It's a kind of a happening. You know, you come here and you experience Prescott in its entirety, and the focus is on downtown. But you get out of downtown and you go have a great time and see great views and hang out with people on the trail. And then you come back into town and you have a good time.
Yeah. The Whiskey Off-Road, for people that maybe aren't familiar, has been in our city 16 years. Is that right?
Yes.
16 years. It is a pro event in a series of four different main events. It has a 50-mile race for the pros, and then is it a 25 and a 15?
They have a 30-mile and a 15.
Okay.
And the 15's on Friday afternoon. The 30-mile is on Saturday, and then the 50 is also open to the general public on Saturday as well.
That's true. Some of my good friends who turn 50 decide that it's a good idea to do that race, which I did not take that opportunity. I'm thankful for. But, well, in the news lately, guys, ECOSA there was an acquisition out there or an easement. Joe, maybe some folks have seen that in the newspaper, heard it on the news. Talk a little bit about that whole situation with ECOSA, that partnership.
Yeah, the ECOSA Institute acquired some land in the Dells a couple of years ago, I think it was, and they're trying to take 47 of those acres and put them into a conservation easement. And through that process, we'd been talking to them about how the city could partner with them, and what we came up with was a trail easement that will connect to our Willow Dells trails to go over into ECOSA. And the idea is to work with ECOSA to put up some signage that's educational, so it'll be one of the trails as you're walking along. You can learn about the flora and the fauna and maybe learn a little bit about smart growth and what's an acre foot of water and other things like this. We always like to take the opportunity when we can to learn about history, flora, fauna, whatever we can along our side our trails. For example, the Peavine Trail is great. If you're just out for a leisurely stroll, you can learn that Watson Lake is an important bird area identified by the Audubon Society. You can learn about the railroad history. We have the signage along the way that you can do that with, and it's really important. We're also working with the library, now that I'm on this topic of education and trails, working with the library on a grant to do a storybook walk around Granite Creek Park. Mm. So we have a half-a-mile trail that goes around Granite Creek Park, and the idea is that, you know, you pick a book out and you go from station to station with your kids, and you can read the book as you go along the trail. So I always try to get the two together, because what's more important than getting our kids outside these days?
Yeah, I love that educational piece with ECOSA. This property, Joe, is kind of east of Willow Lake on the west side of 89 Highway?
That's correct. It butts right up to some property that we have that we acquired through our lakes purchase. Mm-hmm. As well as some other individual purchases that we did over the years.
You know, speaking of that, Joe, this council and this city over the years has really valued the properties in and around the Dells. As I look back and see all the different purchases that have been made, and it really, you've got more history than me. It kind of started with the lakes, but we've got nearly 1,700 acres in and around the Dells. Talk a little bit about that. People may not know, you know, how many acres the city has in that area.
Yeah, we do. You know, in 2009, there was a committee, the Open Space Committee, that was made up of a group of citizens, came together and identified, you know, the important areas for open space acquisition. And through that plan, which Chris and I work off of, you know, to this day, we've updated it a little bit, but pretty much working off that same template, we've identified properties in the Dells, and really council adopted that plan in 2009. We've really went out with a focus and tried to concentrate on the Dells, because it was, you know, it was identified as the most important for people, and we continue those efforts today. Last year we had a 160-acre purchase that we did in the Dells, and Chris subsequently built 6.4 miles of trail on there with the Over the Hill gang that are being used today, and much appreciated. They got some really good views and really good contours in there, and some great topography.
I think they're pretty technical, actually. I've had my mountain bike in there, and Chris tells me that they're rideable, but some of those, I'm not sure. Those aren't exactly my kind of mountain biking trails.
Yeah, we have an enthusiast group that likes to go out there, and you know, the riding in the Dells is definitely a challenge, and people, you know, up for it. They go out there and they've come back to me over and over again, and said, "Wow, I can go ride up in Granite now, and it's not that hard." Mm-hmm. You know, or I can go to Sedona, and it's not that hard. I'll go to Moab, because I've been able to ride in the Dells and practice all my skills. So,
well, and I think the thing here with the Circle Trail, you know, you guys touched on 100 miles of trail, which is just city of Prescott trails. Really, in the system, there's about 500 miles of trails when you talk about particularly the National Forest thrown in there. And I think what you see around here, whether it's from Lynx Lake or the Granite Basin or the Granite Dells and other places, there's something for everyone. Right, I mean, there's all kinds of different trails out there.
Yeah, that's the beauty we touched on earlier, is we have a little bit of everything. You know, we have big pine trees on the south end of town and peaks that we can see faraway peaks from, and then the north end of town we've got grasslands, and then we've got the chaparral in between, and then throw in the lakes and the dells. You know, we have a quite a variety of terrain, and you know, I'd put Prescott up against any community, you know, in the country, to have this variety of trails and this amount of trails in a city this size.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember, I don't want to interrupt, but I remember a few years ago I asked Todd Sadow, who does the Epic Rides, does the Whiskey Off-Road, so what makes Prescott different? What made Prescott appealing to you? He said, you know, I went out for a ride this morning and I was up in the Ponderosa Pines. I was here yesterday and I was down in the Chaparral. You know, you got a little bit of everything, and I think that does make us unique.
Yeah, I've ridden Moab, and if folks are familiar with Slick Rock in Moab, you know, that particular trail and those loops in there remind me a lot of what we have in the Dells, right, where you're riding on a lot of rock, mm-hmm. particularly maybe around Willow Lake. You have some of that going on.
Yeah, I mean, we have bigger areas of rock, you know, yeah, like you said, around Willow. And it's technical. I think it's as technical, if not more technical, sometimes than the Moab. Moab's a whole different animal as far as a trail system. It's like it's Disneyland, you know, mm-hmm. and it's somewhere that people aspire to come from all over the world. But Prescott has a lot of Moab in it, you know, and I think we have more, and Prescott is manageable. You know, we can have all kinds of different types of riding in the same town, and you know, the Circle Trail really shows that off mm-hmm. best.
You know, I'd like to talk a little bit about getting people from downtown to the Dells and some of these other trails. What kind of plans do you have to help people kind of move from downtown out to some of these trails, and maybe the Granite Creek Corridor is part of that plan?
It is. You know, as you're aware, Mayor, we received a grant to do some master planning in the Greenways Corridor. Our goal is always to connect businesses, neighborhoods, schools to trails that provide that alternative form of transportation opportunity. And ultimately, yes, we want to make those connections better all the time. They can take time. I'll give you an example. A few years ago, we built a section of trail from Granite Creek Park to the rodeo grounds. And in order to do that, we had to put together 15 separate agreements with 15 different landowners to get there. Now, people understand and embrace the trails. I think we're in the past. I mean, maybe some of the people felt like, well, you could introduce a bad element. I think that's turned around. They've seen that actually what it does is it cleans up, you know, some of that bad element, if you will. But it takes time because you got to work through all these agreements. And if one of those people doesn't want to do it, you're kind of blocked off. We've been working and continue to work to make the connection from downtown Prescott out to the Peavine. There's a couple, you know, Chris has made great progress with the VA. We're working through that, and it's, it, like I say, it takes time. We're talking about a federal agency that we've got to work with, but we've been getting there, and I'm convinced we'll get there. And we still need to work with the tribe a little bit on some connections there. But ultimately, someday, the goal would be that you can connect from, you live in the Dexter neighborhood, you could get on the Greenways Trail and ride all the way to Chino Valley. People that can then have the opportunity to commute from Chino Valley to their work in Prescott, or their work in, or their home in Prescott to Chino Valley or Prescott Valley. We already have the connection to Prescott Valley via the Iron King. So ultimately, at the end of the day, if we can make these connections, it makes it safer for people to bike. They're not on the roads necessarily. So those are the things, those are big picture things that we're working on, and we continue to work on those.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about that. I know there's some folks I've talked to in town here about just the opportunity to use the Granite Creek Corridor to get out to the Dells and the Peavine Trail and ultimately to Chino Valley, as you mentioned, Joe. So I'm glad to hear you guys are working on that. I would be all for supporting that. And I think people do understand, Joe, just the complexities of all the different entities that you have to work through. And it's not necessarily that they don't want to help you out, but it does, you know, take some time to get everything approved and through the proper processes. So with Granite Creek here, before we go to break, what's going on, like from Mile High to Granite Creek Park? What are some of the things you guys are working on to improve that area?
Well, the biggest thing right now is the master plan, which we've hired a consultant that's working on. In the meantime, we've done some other things in there. In November, worked with two local landscape companies, Prescott Professional Landscape, and I'm going to forget the other one, I'm sorry, on doing some thinning of invasive species trees in there. And we took out 250 invasive species trees, you know, smaller, but clearing up that canopy, making that area a little bit more pedestrian friendly. We over by El Gato Azul off of Goodwin Street, we had a big chain link fence. It looked like, if you looked down in the creek, it looked like you were looking into a prison or vice versa. We took that down, lowered it, opened that up. We're hopeful that through this master planning process, we'll be able to get the approvals to build some small retaining walls that'll clean up the edges, create some more access, including ADA access, and do a little bit more permanent kind of trail work down in there. So really, again, I think we want to have a walkable downtown, and this is a big part of having a walkable downtown.
Yeah, and it's probably kind of a challenge building a trail down in there because this is a waterway. You know, I mean, at times you're going to see flooding, and so you got to be mindful of that when you're building a trail down there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a highly impacted area. You know, I've seen, you know, 2010 we had water all the way to the bottom of Goodwin Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
To try and defend against that, there's some pretty severe engineering. Or you just say, well, it's going to be impacted, and how best do we deal with that impact when it happens?
Fair enough. Well, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about Granite Creek Park there on the north end of this area we're talking about and just some of the improvements you have planned up there and kind of how that works with the Hilton Garden Inn that's going in there adjacent to the Granite Creek Park. You're listening to KQ&A. This is Mayor Mingarelli, and we'll be right back after these messages.
At Sherrick Insurance in Cottonwood, we don't fudge when it comes to your coverage, but we'll give you fudge just for getting a quote from us. This is David Goldstein, and with every quote, we'll give you a card for free homemade fudge from Verde Valley Olive Oil Traders. Get a sweet treat and qualified coverage from a solid company like Safeco. Stop by our office at 657 East Cottonwood Street or call 567-0335. Let's save you some money and hand you some yummy. Sherrick Insurance, 567-0335.
The open road is waiting for you at Affinity RV. You get a home with a view.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, and we're proud to have been chosen one of the top 50 RV dealerships in North America. We're located at Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69, Prescott Valley and Dewey, and online at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
Now that it's finally cooled down outside, let's spruce up the yard. Prescott Dirt has the boulders, the rock, the topsoil. Oh yeah, we'll help you make your yard the talk of the town. I'm Sam with Prescott Dirt. We've been making the community beautiful since the early 90s with the best prices for landscaping materials along with the best service around. Come on, come see me at Prescott Dirt. We have locations in Prescott and Prescott Valley, and you can get lots of information at PrescottDirt.com.
Your heart deserves state-of-the-art care. And with the James Family Heart Center, the heart healing services you need are close to home. We offer personalized care and innovative technology in an environment that promotes surgical excellence. Our heart specialists provide a comprehensive array of care, from open heart surgery and interventional procedures to therapies to correct heart rhythm disorders. And now, we proudly perform transcatheter aortic valve replacement, a revolutionary procedure for people who require an alternative to traditional valve replacement surgery. From the skilled hands of our physicians to our investment in facilities, technologies, and preventive care, the James Family Heart Center at YRMC West is state-of-the-art care for the state of your heart. Talk to your heart specialist about the James Family Heart Center or visit us online at yrmc.org.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for joining KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm DJ Phone with your Wednesday check of local and state news and weather together. Brought to you by Affinity RV. The House Judiciary Committee defeats a pro-choice abortion bill, House Bill 2696. It would have repealed Arizona's law requiring fetuses that survive getting aborted to be resuscitated. Plenty of people testified against the bill, including Aaron Rohr.
I stand before you as a survivor. I was the unwanted. I was slated to die. So I tell you that my life was just as valuable in the womb as it is now, 39 years later.
Democrat Raquel Tehran argues,
my sister had a miscarriage at 24 weeks, and the heartbeat was coming down lightly, lightly, lightly.
Tehran demanded her bill be held. Judiciary Chairman John Allen refused and put the bill to a vote. It was inevitably rejected. A winter storm warning through Friday with increasing clouds this evening, chilling after bedtime to near 27. Whiteout blizzard conditions starting with 3 to 7 inches of snow late tonight, 8 to 12 more tomorrow morning and afternoon, possibly even 4 to 8 more tomorrow night, continuing Friday. With gray sky highs around 32 Thursday and Friday, clearing and cold this weekend, warming to 45 by Tuesday. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, the same winter storm warning, 1 to 3 inches of snow showers late tonight, a pre-dawn low near 32, with 3 to 8 inches of new snow tomorrow through Friday, windy highs both days around 42, clearing Saturday and warming by midweek to the mid-50s. This news and weather, a service of Affinity RV. Have a great Wednesday evening and stay tuned as Talk of the Town Prescott continues on KQ&A.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 White Spar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Know you love your baby, so treat her right. Get your car gleaming inside and out with a Prescott Pro Wash Detail. They're the mobile detail specialists who will come to your home or business with options to fit your schedule and budget. From an express wash to a full detail and everything in between, they even have a ceramic coating that is weather resistant and will protect your baby like nothing else. And one application can last up to 3 years. That's 3 years you don't have to wax your car. So give Eric a call and drive around in style at 848-3799 or online at PrescottProWash.com.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. When you see one of our trucks rolling down the road in Yavapai County, that's not just a fresh tank of propane. That's the warmth a family will feel this winter. The heat that'll cook their meals, wake them up to hot coffee, and dry the clothes they wear. For three generations, people have associated our name with the comfort provided by clean burning propane. 67 years of touching the lives of families in Yavapai County. You can find out more at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Choices, choices, choices. For those times when the whole crazy bar scene and loud music just aren't what you're looking for, but you're also not looking for a dull and boring family-style chain restaurant dining experience, we say choose tried and true Prescott Brewing Company. Comfort food and great beer. Vegetarian and great beer. Made from scratch, including the beer. Salads and pizzas, burgers and tacos, pulled pork and smoked brisket. There's something for everyone at Prescott Brewing Company. Real food, real beer, real people, and real local.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to KQ&A and Talk of the Town. This is Greg Mangarelli, mayor of the city of Prescott. I'm here with Joe Baines and Chris Hosking talking about Parks and Rec and our trail systems and all things in the outdoors around Prescott. We were talking about the Granite Creek walkway, Joe, kind of from Mile High Middle School all the way north to the train trestle in Granite Creek Park, and just the improvements that you're going to plan to do in there. But let's talk more about the Granite Creek Park that's kind of little known, honestly. You know, people, when we say Granite Creek Park, they think of where the Ramada is on the east side of Montezuma. And they don't really think about Granite Creek really goes under Montezuma on the west side there, and there's quite a bit of park over there as well.
Yeah, it's referred to a lot of times as West Granite Creek Park. Tom Pettit Pocket Park is in there. We're excited about a lot of public-private partnership involvement with the Hilton Gardens and the developers there to put in some playground amenities. We're looking at the possibility of a splash pad, a railroad-themed playground. We're hopeful that we're going to be able to create a community space, which could allow for the farmers market to move in there mm-hmm. at some point in time. We've been talking to those folks. Really right now, I'm anticipating getting 30% plans probably within the next 10 days. And that'll kind of set things out a little bit better. But some restrooms in there, a tie-in hopefully to Prescott College since they're going to be relocating or locating what I'll call an East Campus at the old APS facility there. So there's a lot of moving parts and pieces in there, but it's all really exciting, and I think it's an opportunity to help revitalize our downtown. And again, you know, we talk about having a friendly, walkable downtown. I think this is going to create that opportunity as well, and I think it's an example of something that we probably wouldn't be able to do on our own, but working in partnership with the developers, I think we'll get some of this stuff moving.
You know, earlier you talked about more family-friendly activities, and that's kind of what I think about in this area here, Joe, is really cleaning up a park that's not used much at all right now with more parking and accessibility, having the playground, the splash pad, a lot of green space. I have to tell you, I'm most excited about just having more grass and green space in there. Many times we at the city incentivize people to get rid of their grass around their homes because we want to be very water conscious and make sure we're conserving. But I think it's important that the city provide these kinds of spaces for families to go to throw the frisbee around and to enjoy some family time. And like you mentioned, having more space for the farmers market and maybe some arts and crafts shows down in there, I think is going to be really beneficial to our citizens.
Yeah, a community space, because if we're going to be water wise and ask folks to give up their grass in their backyard, we really, as a city, should be able to provide a community space where they can still get out and get a grass stain, you know? I think that's important. It's a rite of passage, right, for a kid to get grass stains.
Yeah, that's right. So talking about activities, you were mentioning off the air here, a new initiative with kickball that's going to start up here this spring. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe it's in April. We'll start sign-ups early April, and we'll run it right along the lines of the softball, adult softball program. But we're really excited about Ken Lindley Field. Well, it is typically the championship place. We'll play our girls' fast-pitch tournaments and, of course, home to Yavapai College Soccer. It's still a little underutilized. Really getting people downtown on a Friday night at historic Ken Lindley Field to play a little co-ed kickball and then go down and enjoy Whiskey Row or go get an ice cream or a yogurt or whatever. That's what we want to do, is create that quality of life where, you know, mom and dad can get away for the evening and get out and play with some peers and play a game that, you know, is quite frankly, something everybody can play.
This is the old kickball I used to play in middle school, grade school, where you're playing kind of a version of baseball with a kickball, and you kick off, and if somebody catches it, you're out, and when you're running the bases, if they hit you with the ball, you're out.
Pretty simple game,
yeah.
Straightforward, but really co-ed friendly. You know, we still have the highest per capita participation in our adult softball leagues of any place in the state of Arizona. That tells me that we should try something like this where we get more couples out that can enjoy Prescott. And again, downtown Prescott, you know, having something in Ken Lindley Field that people can, you know, entertain themselves with is a quality of life thing.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great opportunity. Sounds like a lot of fun. More information, call in your office at 777-1557. Is that the best way to get a hold of you guys?
That's correct, yes.
And then website, do you have some information on the website?
Yeah, we'll also be on the website.
Okay, we'll look for that coming up this spring. Joe, anything else that you're planning here, priorities coming up this spring or maybe summer for Parks and Rec?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of good things. We are the fun department. I didn't want to steal that from Chris, but if you want another department, go to finance. No, one of the things that we've been working on, in fact, it'll come to council here on March 12th, is an engineering design contract with Kelly Wise Engineering to do some design work for Lower Goldwater Lake. You know, there's two lakes at Goldwater. There's an upper and there's a lower. And we really haven't been able to open up the lower lake to the public because there were some liability concerns with an old water treatment facility. We've since mitigated that. And now we're moving forward to open up that lake. It is owned by the taxpayers, and really to create an opportunity down there for the general public to get in there does a couple of things, right? It's quality of life, but it's also going to bring up folks from Phoenix that are going to spend their money here, or folks from all over the state that are going to help support those city services by spending time in our community. And it's a real neat piece of property. It's an eight-acre lake. We've been working with Game and Fish to stock it. We're working on a fishery plan with them right now, but we did stock it with some Gila trout. A little piece of information, we do have the state record Gila trout that was caught out of Upper Goldwater Lake last summer. We feel like we probably have the state record again in the upper lake floating around in there somewhere, just so everybody knows. And we think that by stocking this lake, and if everything goes, if council approves and everything goes well, we expect we could open it for the spring of 2020. And we're thinking by that time, the stocking that Game and Fish did about 6 months ago, some of those Gila trout will have had time to mature. And by the same token, some of the smaller Gila trout that were stocked will have been eaten by the bass, the big holdover bass we have in there. And we could have some pretty good sized bass down there as well. So, we're really excited about that. We typically, Memorial Day to Labor Day, on the weekends, we're going to park that place out, even though we added 104 parking spots and two Ramadas in 2014. So we see, you know, the trends, and we see that it's a 160-acre piece of property that we own there. We really only utilize maybe 20 of it. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about that, and hopefully things will come together for that.
You know, I think this is a lake, Joe, that people really don't know about, a hidden gem, and it's just west of the what people know now as Goldwater Lake, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I think on 392, Chris, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not always good with my trail numbers. Riding that, I'm just south of that lake and can get a view of this lake Joe's talking about.
396.
396. See, I knew I wasn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great little trail back there, and it's and I've seen that lake when I'm on that trail, just to the north there when you're riding along 396. Well, that's cool. I'm glad we're opening up that asset and more of that acreage, Joe, to the public, and particularly fishing. That's Goldwater's wildly popular. I'm assuming you guys have the numbers on that. So this will be a similar type of experience down there.
Yeah, we do. It's really, Game and Fish likes it because it's a great cold water lake. They feel like it can be a trophy lake for trout especially. And that's been evidenced by the success of the Gila trout program. But we also have the state record sunfish was caught out of there in the 90s. And last year we had a 23-pound channel cat that was caught out of there, just a monster. It wasn't a state record, but it's big. But we're looking at, you know, the fishing opportunity, as well as we're going to create another day-use Ramada down there. You know, we do a lot of weddings at Goldwater Lake. I'd venture to say we do 6 to 8 weddings a year out there. So a Ramada, some restrooms, some day use areas, about another 150 parking spots, and a ceremony pad, which we're beginning to do at every lake now. We did it in 2014 for the first time when we did the expansion to Upper Goldwater Lake. And what it was one of our staff members that came up with it, and just a flat pad with decomposed granite. We run power out to it, put some boulders around it, make it look pretty, and it's a place that's typically going to be perched up above the lake with a great photo opportunity, so that if you're getting married, that's kind of the spot you go to and perform the actual ceremony. We just built one at Watson Lake this winter, one of our winter projects, and it's just phenomenal. It comes right off of the Ramada at the upper Ramada there, and we'll, you know, probably it's 3,000 square feet, so you could have a wedding party of a couple hundred people up there easily.
Yeah. I'll have to talk to my son Brady about this. He's getting married in August, so he might need to check it out. So one more thing on that lower Goldwater Lake. That had been used as a water source years ago, if I understand correctly, but now we don't use either one of those lakes for a water source for the city.
Correct. That was up until somewhere in the 1980s was when that was disbanded. But, yeah, there's a lot of history there. It was actually acquired by the city of Prescott, that property, in the late 1800s because they knew to have a, you know, a viable town, you had to have a viable water supply. And then in the 30s, they started, you know, with the first dam, and then I think a few years later, they dammed the second dam. And it was part of a system, if you remember, Hassayampa Lake, which is up closer to Walker, was owned by the city of Prescott. And so it was a series of impoundments. Of course, only two natural lakes in the state of Arizona. These are reservoirs or impoundments. It started up there where it would take the runoff and hold it in that impoundment. Then it would go through a series of channels and sometimes pipes to Upper Goldwater Lake, to Lower Goldwater Lake, to the treatment facility, and then piped along Hazley Homestead back into the city of Prescott. I believe it went then to the tank right up on Senator Highway, right as you get off of Mount Vernon there. So a lot of history.
Yeah. One interesting thing about that Hassayampa Lake, I mean, that's part of that Hassayampa watershed that goes down to the Colorado River. So we're right on the watershed there to go from Granite Creek, goes down to the Salt River, and then that other drainage goes to the Colorado.
Well, it's an interesting institutional knowledge. Obviously, we can't get rid of Joe ever because he knows a lot of history about the city. So
getting there.
Let's shift gears a little bit here. You know, we touched on the Dells purchase, which was a little over a year ago, 160 acres. Just as I was coming into office, actually, I think it was finalized in January a year ago. Mm-hmm. A great purchase and some great trails in there, Easter Island trails. Is that kind of what you call that area, Chris?
No, Easter Island is one of the trails in there, but it's really called the Storm Trails after the family that mm-hmm. homesteaded in there and ranched for many years. So, you know, we have about 6.4 miles that we've built in that area. And, you know, I have to say it myself, it's just spectacular. And you go all the way to the base of Glassford Hill. There's some great views of Watson Lake. There's some just great views of the whole area. It's you can get up high. You can go into canyons. I've got one canyon called the Gap Trail. It's only about 2 feet wide. You can squeeze through. So huge variety. You got Boulder Creek running through there, riparian area. Just, again, lots of variety in that little area.
Right. So if people aren't familiar, Chris, if they go to the trailhead for the Peavine and then go up the Peavine, about how far to get to these trails?
About a mile and a half.
Okay.
And then they're off on the right-hand side of the Peavine, so to the east of the Peavine.
Yeah, so... you know, I've had my kids up there. Actually, what we like to do is use bicycles to get up the Peavine, and then we'll park bicycles there and then a lot of times hike on foot around in that trail system.
Yeah, and a lot of people are doing that. You know, they get out there, they can quick on bicycles, they get a little bit of a different kind of workout.
And you've got some bike racks along there, I think I noticed, where you can park your bikes along the Peavine.
Yeah, I'd like to put some more bike racks out there. We've got ones at Boulder Creek. But there's plenty of space up against the rocks to put a bunch of bikes and get them out of the way.
Well, I'd highly encourage people that haven't been out there yet to go to the Peavine trailhead there and go north a mile and a half. And there's a lot of great trails, and you also have some maps along the trail.
We have maps on every, it seems like every intersection will have a map. Okay, now you're here, now you're here. So another good resource is to go to our city website, or you can just go to a hyperlink, just punch in prescotttrails.com. It goes right to my page, and it'll give you an idea of all the different trails on there. There's videos, there's a way to download maps onto your phone. And then the phone now becomes a GPS, and you'll be able to understand exactly where you are, and you'll be able to record your GPS tracks and see how far you've been.
Sounds great. Well, we're going to take a little break. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley, and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at kqna.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Cherrick Insurance in Cottonwood, we don't fudge when it comes to your coverage, but we'll give you fudge just for getting a quote from us. This is David Goldstein, and with every quote, we'll give you a card for free homemade fudge from Verde Valley Olive Oil Traders. Get a sweet treat and qualified coverage from a solid company like Safeco. Stop by our office at 657 East Cottonwood Street or call 567-0335. Let's save you some money and hand you some yummy. Cherrick Insurance, 567-0335.
Everyone's talking about Augie's Restaurant.
Augie's has the best appetizers and the best martinis ever.
It's got a really great atmosphere, a real homey feeling when you go in there. They got a great service staff that takes care of you from when you walk in to when you leave.
It's warm, it's friendly, it's fun, it's home away from home.
Chef Joel, best chef ever.
Check out Augie's. It's the place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Are you looking for the right product at the right price with outstanding customer service? A&E Reaper Graphics brings it all together with a variety of printing that includes banners, business cards, and so much more. A&E Reaper Graphics will get you the best products at the best price, all with our 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
Do not paint your own house. If you paint your house, you will spill the paint. If you spill the paint, you will have to replace your floor. To replace your floor, you will pay the floor man enough money to go to Hawaii. Don't pay your floor man to go to Hawaii. Call Century Painting. We will paint your house, not spill the paint, save you money, and send you to Hawaii. So call Century Painting, 778-2374, or go to CenturyPainting.com.
Play High Low at Cliff Castle Casino, and you can win a share of over $30,000 in cash and prizes. Earn entries all month and bonus entries on Tuesdays. Drawings start on Sunday, February 24th at 4 p.m. with progressive cash prizes each hour through 9 p.m. At 8 p.m., you can win $5,000 cash, and at 9 p.m., one lucky winner walks away with $10,000 cash. Be one of the 30 winners on February 24th playing High Low. Visit CliffCastleCasino.com for details. Cliff Castle Casino, the perfect place to play.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Chris Hosking and Joe Baines here. And Chris, I'd like to jump over to mountain biking and just talk a little bit about the status of mountain biking in Prescott and kind of what you've seen lately.
Well, the trend is, you know, that the kids are getting into mountain biking. The whole NICA, National Intercollegiate Cycling Association. So there's, you know, there's 1,000 kids racing, you know, weekends, you know, all through the year. And, you know, they come to Prescott and they travel to all these different events around the state. But what I'm seeing is their parents are now getting into mountain biking, too. And a long time, you know, long-time locals who've never really been into biking are now, you know, taking a look at mountain biking because their kids are doing it and they want to go ride with them, and now they're coaching them. And so that's the one kind of trend I'm seeing. And also a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are moving here. They can live anywhere, you know, in the country or anywhere in the West, and they're choosing to move to Prescott and work remotely. I just met a family the other day from Southern California. He's an environmental engineer, and he can work wherever and just get into on his laptop and check in, and he brought his whole family here. So I see that a lot. I see a lot of accountants that move here that can work anywhere, and they choose to be here, and they're out in the trails. A lot of tech people.
Yeah, no, I think that's true, Chris. Whether it be mountain biking or even just people that really enjoy the outdoors, the hiking available, the kayaking, you know, we have some tremendous opportunities. So. Yeah. Well, I want to jump back to kind of where we started the show with snow removal and just encourage people again to be very careful out there starting tonight and particularly tomorrow. If you don't have to be out tomorrow, please don't go out because we're trying to do the best we can with our 16 plows and all of our folks out there clearing roads. So if you can, stay home. And then, Joe, let's talk a little bit about just our response. It sounds like we've got these 16 plows are going to be running 24/7 on the major roadways.
That's correct. They'll work in 12-hour shifts, and they'll start with the primary roads first, the arterials, the collectors. If they don't get to your neighborhood street in a heavy snow for a day or two, don't be alarmed. That's just the process is to get those arterials opened up so that we can get commerce through there, get people to and from work, and we'll work our way out. But just be patient.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you do have an emergency, please do give us a call on 911. We want to make sure we're ready and prepared to take care of anything that might happen. If you have non-emergency calls, please call 777-1130. And we'd be happy to help you there, but let's not tie up the 911 calls. Well, guys, thank you so much for being on the show today. Excited about everything going on in Parks and Rec and our trails. We have some tremendous assets out there, and you guys have done a great job of showcasing that here in our city and making it more available for our citizens. And so thanks for all your work here in the city.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That's all we have for today. Thanks to our guests and for listening. I'm Prescott Mayor Greg Mingarelli. So long for now. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQNA 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQNA. Today's show was sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQNA, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQNA.